Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
We've been talking about accessing grace. The fact that God's grace has to be accessed. And what I'm going to do over the next few services, unless the Lord would change us up, is I'm going to talk about ways we access God's grace. This morning, I want to talk about faith. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Because faith's real important to our lives. Back in the 1990s, we had a pastor. It was a good man. He loved the Lord, but he went off the rails because he didn't balance this faith and grace thing in the Bible. And he began to teach, began to say, because he found scriptures in the Bible that said that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And he found a scripture in the Bible, and that's 1 John chapter 2. And he found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's around verse 19, where it says, God's not imputing the world's trespasses unto them. And so he began to teach, and he began to teach that everybody is saved already. We're already saved. Everybody's going to heaven. It's a done deal. Christ has paid for it. It's already done. Hallelujah. But there was no hallelujah in that. Because the truth of the matter is, what's done by grace must be received by faith. Everything he said was true. Christ did make it available. Grace is there for everybody. It's available. God's made it available. The vilest sinner in our city, God's made grace available to him. But he has to receive it. And that's why we have the Great Commission. Why have the Great Commission if everybody's already saved? Why say come to Jesus? So what? For what? See, so you will have a better life in this life. How many know you have a better life? I have a better life living for Jesus than I did before I was living for Jesus. I don't have to look over my shoulder as much. Man, I remember one night, the cops chased me all the way from, most of you people won't know, Pikers will know this, Campbelltown, all the way to Willisville. Talk about two metropolises. Chased me all the way from Campbelltown to Willisville. They got my driveway, trying to pull me over. And when I got in my driveway and got on my car, they weren't there. I can tell you've never lived like I lived. It was called a hallucination. But I wasn't about to pull over because I wasn't in any shape to talk to any cop. But when I got home, I got out of the car and they're gone. Well, listen, grace was there for me. Grace is there for everybody. God didn't have to send Jesus to die again when I met him and December of 81, it was there all along. I could have been saved in 78. 68. Amen. If I'd have just partaken by faith. So he began to teach, and he began to tell, and he began to teach from his church. He had a big church. He began to teach, and he began to proclaim that everybody's saved, and no matter what faith you are, how we say faith, whether you're a Muslim or a Buddhist or, a Hindu, whoever, ultimately Christ is going to save all of you, even though you're following the wrong way. We're all going to be saved. But how many know there's just way too many scriptures in the Bible to refute that? No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. Not by Muhammad. Amen. Now, I ran into some of you remember the Reverend Moon. And I ran into some Moonies one time. I went into KFC with my Bible, I wasn't trying to be religious. I just need some study time. I was going to preach that night. And so I was in KFC and I had my Bible with me. And boy, that triggered them off, man. Here they came over to my table, began to talk to me, about how Jesus was a good man. He was a good prophet, but, he was killed before he finished his mission. I'm here to tell you, he died to fulfill and finish his mission. And so, I said, well, you know what? They said, well, he was murdered, And I said, well, why does Isaiah say it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief? This was something that was ordained by God so he could take our sins. Amen. Right. And so they gave me some chiclets and went their way. How many opened up here while chiclets? Maybe they're still out there. I don't know. But, you know, I didn't chew them. I thought maybe they put some kind of curse on these things or something. I don't know. Yeah. This is a weird religion here. I don't know what they do to chiclets, but, you know. But chiclets are not going to get you saved. Amen. So, you know, he began to preach this, you know, and many people tried to talk to him about it and try to warn him that this is not the truth. You know, God's grace is available, absolutely, for everybody, and he made it available for everybody, but not everybody just automatically freely has it. It's freely given, but you have to receive it. You have to receive it. You know, you could try to give me something, and if I don't receive it, then it's not going to do me any good. I've had people try to give me things before that I didn't want. I've had people try to give me cats. I don't want it. I've had people try to give me dogs. I've had people try to give me broccoli. Isn't it amazing how people that think you should eat like they eat think that you'll like what they like? It's like, leave me alone. Hey, man, look, I'm almost a full-grown man. So we have to go back. We have to go back. We have to read the Bible and see what the Bible says. So I want you to find this in Romans chapter 4 because it talks about this. And I want to just think about some things just for a little bit here about how we must make sure that, you know, not only does our faith access salvation, but it accesses everything God has provided by grace. See? So Romans chapter 4, and I want to read verse 16. And it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end. Now that to the end means for this cause, that the promise might be sure to all of the seed. We won't read the rest of that verse, but he said it's by grace so that it could be by faith. So the promise could be sure to all the seed. In other words, God gave the Jesus provided the grace. God made a way to access it that everybody could do it. See, I've told you before, if he did it by everybody has an IQ of 120 or over can access grace, is everybody going to make it? I dare ask, are you going to make it? Am I going to make it? I don't know. I don't know what my IQ is. It's probably off the charts, but I'm not sure which way. Okay? I don't even really want to know. Okay? It's working enough to keep me alive. I know that, and blessed and happy. All right. So have you know that the guy out there on the street that's never been to school gets God's grace the same as the guy in the White House. It's no different. And God doesn't think any more of the guy in the White House than he does the person on the street. He's made grace available for both of them. All his blessings are available. And it's not based on whether you're the right skin color or whether you're the right your nationality or you have the right color of hair or you have hair or you're the right weight or et cetera, et cetera. It's all done on an even plane where it's by faith. If you simply choose to believe what God said, and it's a choice. Faith is a choice. We make it harder than it is, but it's just a choice. And I'm going to choose to believe what God said. If you do it that way, anybody can have it. Life isn't like that, but God is. See, to do certain things today, you have to have an education. And that's right. How many are glad that commercial airplane pilots have to have an education. Anybody happy about that? I mean, what did you think you got on a plane and the guy said, you know, I got my license today online. I don't know about you, but I'm getting off, right? You're on the operating table and the surgeon says, well, you know, I read about this online. I think I can do this. Sorry. I'm out of here. I don't care what's hanging out in the back here. I'm gone. Don't tell me you can't leave the hospital. My grandma did one time. They told her she couldn't go home. She called a cab. Amen. She was old school, real old school. She was born in 18-something, 1890-something. So anyway, I'm just saying to you that God made it in such a simple way that all of His blessings, salvation, you know, when what we call salvation, being born again. But then along with that, there's all kinds of blessings that He's given us. How many know that? How many know He's provided healing for us? And it's just a simple, I choose to believe what God said. Amen. And when you do that, you know, it's by grace that it might be by faith. Look at the fifth chapter of Romans. Look at this in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it great to have peace with God? Man, I tell you what, when I got saved that night, I still remember it, you know. I mean, it's just like, it's still fresh in my mind, the night I got saved. I was living a rough life, you know, and gave my life to Jesus Christ at a night service at a church, Sunday night service. And I remember going home, and I've told you this many times, I remember thinking, you know, I never had peace like this in my life. I mean, peace showed up like immediately in my life. It's like, man, praise God. Why? Because I had peace with God. Hallelujah. And he says, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So what God has provided by grace must be accessed by faith. You remember the scripture where the Bible says that but let him ask in faith. That's James chapter 1. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea. The word waver there, that's the old King James. New King James says doubts, because that's doubt is, the King James uses the word wavering because that's what doubt is. It's wavering back and forth. You know, when the Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. I mean, you know, when you're 100 years old and you're told you're going to have a son, I mean, that's getting hit full force with a promise. I mean, know that. That could cause you to stagger a little bit. Like, well, the weight of that thing. But he didn't stagger at it, but he was strong in faith. So the Bible says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, no doubting, for he that doubts like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and don't let him think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Now, I hear teachers today, you know, so a lot of times they're from denominational churches, and they kind of want to fight us that believe a little bit about faith and healing and so forth and say, it's not true that you have to have faith to be healed. I'm thinking, what Bible do you actually read? The New Perverted Version? I don't know what you read, but Jesus said, daughter, my faith, did he say that? What did he say? Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Now, how many know? We know it was power that went out of him that made her whole, right? See, the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment, virtue went out of him, right? So it really, you could say, in essence, it really wasn't the faith, it was the power. But what Jesus is highlighting is what the power is available for everybody. It's called grace. But he's highlighting what, for better lack of a better term, jerked the power out of him. Remember that? Remember Jesus said, who touched me? Remember that? And the disciples, big brilliant like they were, goes, duh. Everybody's touching you. Remember it says there was a crowd around him. The King James word throng. They were all bumping into him. And that's what Jesus was saying. He didn't say, who bumped into me? Who touched me? See, everybody's, a lot of people bump into God. But few touch him. Amen. You know, what with their faith. See, so, and that doesn't mean now, and when you say that, then people I make say, well, if I'm not healed, it means I don't have any faith. No, that's not, you see, you may be in a battle. Right? And we get criticized by this, you know. They say, well, those people, they call you faith healers. Well, first of all, nobody is a healer except Jesus. Right? The Bible says God wrought, that King James, worked special miracles by the hands of Paul. Who did the miracles? What did Paul supply? Isn't that hard? That isn't hard. Paul had hands. God said, all right, that's all I need, hands. Right? So what if my hands are cut off? Well, he can use stubs. He just needs us, you know, like the working of miracles. Somebody's got to do some work. You know, like throwing the, remember the guy lost his axe head in Kings? And he goes to the prophet and said, hey, I borrowed that. I mean, I need to return that. And it fell in the water. And the king, the prophet throws the stick in the water. And the Bible says the axe head did swim. Have you ever thrown sticks in the Ohio River? Did anything come up? But when God anoints the stick, the stick can bring it up. What's the stick got? The stick doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just a vessel. Right? We're just vessels. How many of you know that? You know, we don't have anything to do with it much except, you know, just to believe. That's not hard. All you got to do is just choose to believe. Yeah, and obey. Which, if you believe, you will obey. How many know that? So, it says here we have access by faith. How many know that? How many believe that? All right. The children of Israel, matter of fact, I think we should probably go there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. The children of Israel, they had a promised land for them. You know, the land of the Lord said would flow with milk and honey. You know, they were slaves in Egypt. And God brought them out. They're in the wilderness, and God's got this great land for them. It's got giants in it, but God didn't even tell them about the giants. Did he? He didn't say, hey, got a great land for you? Hey, problem is there's giants in there. We have a problem, Houston. I mean, he didn't even talk about the giants. Why? Because if he said it's your land, giants don't mean anything. And so he didn't even tell them. They found out about the giants. They went over there. They spied out the land. They saw the giants. They came back and said, to at least 10 of them said, we can't do this. How many of them didn't change God's word because there were giants in the land? How many doesn't change God's? Now, listen now. Don't take this wrong. It doesn't change God's word because there's sickness in your body. It's a giant in your promised land. That's all it is. What are you going to do? Say, I can't have it because there's a giant here? Are you going to run the giants out? You going to be like Caleb, who at 85 years old said, give me the mountain, right? And it was Hebron. He wanted the place where the giants lived. Why did he want the giants' land? Because it's the best land. Because the big guys live there. Yes, big trucks. Big Chevy trucks. How many understand? God doesn't consider giants. No. It's people that do. Yep. It's like the time, you know, I needed a certain amount of money, you know, it's a few thousand dollars. It's like, to me, it was a big deal. But like, I mean, I'm sure God probably thinks, what's the big deal? It's like a friend of mine said one time, he was needing $2,500. A print. Pastor friend. And this was years ago. At the same time, Oral Roberts was still alive. I remember Oral Roberts. And for some project he had going, he needed $25 million. He said, I told God, would you get Oral out of the way so you can take care of me? I mean, $25 million is not nothing to God. Right? You know, so no, I've been in the ministry over 40 years. God's impressed. He's been in the ministry billions of years. It's like 40 years, you know. It's like you meet a little kid. Oh, I'm 10 now. Oh my gosh. I mean, when you look at it from God's perspective, it changes everything. Amen. Now, here in Hebrews, look at this. Hebrews chapter 3. Go there. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 17 says, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So see, God had a, he had a land, we could say it like this, he had a land of grace for them. How many follow what I'm saying? It was a land of blessing. Amen? And so it was, there used to be a songs, we used to sing older songs like talking about Canaan's land. And sometimes we would mistakenly relegate, like Canaan's land was the land that the children of Israel were going to go into, the land of promise, the land, you know, where they brought back the grapes and the, you know what I'm saying, on a pole, the humongous grapes. It was just a lush land. We've equated that sometimes with heaven, but no. That's the blessings God's provided for us now as believers. That's our inheritance, our redemption. Hey, is this side over here alive? Amen. How many know we got an inheritance? So it's not, and we would say, you would sing like heaven, like, you know, no. Heaven's, there's no giants in heaven. People say, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to have authority over the devil. God got some news for you. He's not going to be there. Well, what are we waiting for? You have people say, we're going to have, boy, we used to sing those songs, you know, in Old Pentecost, you know, in the sweet by and by. Well, there's a point, there's a truth to that. But sometimes it was like portrayed like we're not going to have anything until we get over there. This is just a life of toil and labor and hurt and harm and sickness and disease and pain, you know, and sin. But once we get to heaven, listen, I understand that heaven's a lot nicer than Evansville. Yes. Right? Hey, it's even better than Boonville. It's even better than Tennyson. What's the part we live in Evansville that's got a name? What's it called, Greg? What's that called? Something Hills or something. I don't know, but anyway. He doesn't know, and he's been here for longer than I have. Melody Hills. I mean, heaven's better. Amen. But the point is we wanted to push everything off until we got to heaven, and God has given us some heaven to go to heaven in. Jesus said, like Pastor Jerry was reading this, wasn't that good this morning? It's like the scripture he's reading in John 10:10. He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. I like the Amplified Bible, to the full, till it overflows, right? I heard a guy say this one time, and I never forgot it. It was years ago. He said, we need to live on the other side of the comma. Now, what does it mean? I've come to give you life, comma, and that more abundantly. Some people just satisfied with the life, which is good. But God's got it more abundantly. Amen. So that's two things, right? I come to give you life. That's going to heaven. How many know that? That's being born again. But I've come to give you more abundantly. I want you to have an abundant life. Hallelujah. And that isn't all about money. How many know that? You know, because you can have money. There's a lot of people that have money that are sad. And there's a lot of people that don't have money that are happy. Not bad at that. It's not bad. Now, money's helpful. How many know that? And I believe in biblical prosperity. All right? I don't believe in some of the excesses that are preached and taught. I don't have time. Maybe I'll teach on that sometime. But I believe that God wants us blessed abundantly. It's like Pastor was talking about, Pastor Jerry. We having all sufficiency in all things can abound to every good work. We're not even there yet. What did he say? You get to the place you don't have to think about you. You can just think about other people being a blessing. So I believe in that. But at that, what's money if you don't have your health? What's money if your family's messed up? What's money if you're bound? I'd rather be free and happy. But I'm not making a choice here. We can have everything. We used to sing a song, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Well, how many know when you go to the table, there's more than just corn on the cob? I mean, the Pastor Jerry and Miss Kay invites over, going to fix you a good meal. I get there and there's corn on the cob. I like corn on the cob. But I want something that had some parents. You'll figure that out. I believe what the Lord told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. I let somebody else do the killing. How many young people don't know this, but chicken doesn't come in cellophane. It was once walking around. How many know that? People just, oh. All right, verse 1, chapter 4. Go there. Let us therefore fear. Let's take this seriously, he's saying. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Notice this, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So we got to mix faith with it. You ever buy the epoxy glue? You got to mix the, what do they call that? The catalyst. You got to mix it together before it works. So you got to mix, before the word works for you, the gospel that's been preached to us, before it works, you got to mix faith with it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although, listen to this now, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What's God saying? It's already available. It's already finished, but it takes faith to enter into the rest. See, just like they had a rest, we got a rest. Amen. And it's not just heaven. It's entering into the kingdom now in this life. Amen. So they didn't get in. The Bible tells us, Deuteronomy 32, verse 20, why they didn't get in. The Bible, God described them and said, they're children in whom has no faith. They don't have any faith. They see a problem and they'd run. Oh, you get what I'm saying? See, in other words, they would see a giant and they automatically thought that canceled out the promise of God. Maybe you go to the doctor and you get a bad report. Don't think that automatically cancels out God's promise. It doesn't cancel it out. It means we have a giant in our Canaan's land. We found another one we got to run out. All right, so just because we get a bad report doesn't mean it nullifies the good report. Remember Isaiah said, whose report? Will you believe? We used to sing a song, remember that? Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. But what if I die, Pastor, believing the report of the Lord? Would you rather die not believing the report of the Lord? See, anyway this goes for us, we win. Because, you know, Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has taken the sting out of death. All death is for the believer is a promotion. Paul said, for me to die is gain or get promoted. And I told you what I did as a kid, you know, how I would take the bees. I'd capture bees. I was a bug guy when I was a kid. I was the original bug man. And man, I like bugs, spiders, snakes. Man, I loved to catch snakes as a kid. I wouldn't dare do it now. I'm a coward now. But boy, in those days, I was not, man. I'm telling you, I didn't care what kind of snake it was. I'd chase that guy down. I'd get a stick and pin his head down and pick him up. And he might live through it. I won't tell you some of the things I did because I don't want to ruin your vision of your pastor. But let's just say sometimes the snake didn't make it. Hey man, I would catch all kinds of. I would go after groundhogs. You know, as a kid, you don't think that thing could eat me alive. And they, you know, and you live out in the country, you know, they'd bury in those holes, you know, their little dens. And man, I'd see one go in there, I'd take a stick and man, I'd jab in there at him. He'd growl at me, you know. And I just had no fear of that kind of thing until I got a little older and had some sense and realized you got to show some healthy respect here. They do have teeth. And so anyway, you know, I would catch the bees, you know, and I would put them in a jar and shake them up really good. If you shake them up enough, they get disoriented. You can put them out, take the lid off, put them out on the steps. They're not flying anywhere for a while. They're just disoriented. They're dizzy. And so I would get a stick, hold them down, get their stinger out, and let them crawl on me and show the other kids, look, I'm not afraid of bees, you cowards. Look at that. What they didn't know is their stinger was gone, you know. Which was death to them, but I didn't care. But Christ, there's a spiritual point in this. Christ has taken the sting out of death. It can try and crawl on us, but it can't sting us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because even when we do die, our physical body dies, we go to be with the Lord. Man, I'm telling you what, listen, one guy said this, I believe he's right. He said, the moment you die, you come out of your body, you look down at your body and say, thank God that's over with. If you're going to heaven, if you're not going to heaven, you ain't going to say that. But if you're going to heaven, I mean, look, for the sinner that doesn't know Christ and not going to heaven, I'm telling you, this life right now is the most heaven he'll ever have. But for us believers, this life is the most hell we'll ever have. It just gets better from here. I think it's pretty good now. I don't know about you, but I'm having an abundant life. I'm enjoying my life. But it gets better. But I still have to fight giants. How many know that? You know, I still have to fight things in my body. I still have to fight, different attacks and things in a different area. I still have to fight those. Well, when I get to heaven, man, when I get my, I'm not even going to fight any of that. Praise God. Woo, it'll all be gone. Praise the Lord. But right now there's giants, but giants do not nullify the promise of God. So he said, look at this. The works were finished from the foundation of the Lord. How many know grace is, it's already yours, but face how you possess it. It belongs to everyone, see. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody's going to possess it. But, I mean, you can own things. How many know you can own things you don't possess? How many of you men, some of your son-in-laws got your tools? It's like, I know I got, you know, but yeah. Does that ring true with anybody? You know, so maybe your kids borrowed your tools or something like that, or your neighbor borrowed your tools, your son, your daughter borrowed your tools, you know? Amen. Sometimes my wife borrows my tools. And I'll go, where's my so-and-so? Oh, it's at church. Well, I'm not at church. Now, how do you know? I still own it. How do you know that? But I'm not in possession of it. And there's a lot of people that own a lot of things that are believers. When they got born again, they own everything. All things are yours, Paul told the church of Corinth. But possessing it is another thing. We possess it by our faith. Are you listening now? See, you have to pay attention to the word. You have to pay attention. See, I have a problem paying attention, but not with the word. But in natural, my wife has to help me sometimes, and you don't pay attention. I'm sorry. I think it's a guy thing. How many know that? When we moved to this house we're in, I couldn't find the sugar for 4 months. And I passed it almost every day and just didn't see it because it wasn't where it was in the other house. And so finally, you know, I just put a little small, don't judge me on this, it's my life. I put a level teaspoon of sugar in my coffee. I don't like black coffee. And then I put some flavored creamer in there. And it's pretty good. But she kept filling the bowl, you know, because I didn't know where the sugar was at. And then one day I go to get it, she's gone, and there's no sugar in there. I'm like, now I gotta know where the sugar's at. Is there other guys like that? I don't need to know until I need to know. I don't even care about it. It's, when I need to know, then I need to know. All right. Anybody remember this story? This is a Bible story. We're getting ready to close here, but this is a Bible story out of the book of Luke, chapter 5, where you remember the story in Luke 5 where the four friends took their paralyzed friend to Jesus and couldn't get in the house. And they got up on top of the house and tore the roof off. How many remember that story? Yeah. I mean, that's quite a story when you think about it. I mean, they're having church. And all of a sudden, stuff starts falling down. Jesus is up there preaching like me. Stuff starts falling down. Maybe falls on his head, you know. They're tearing the roof off. It's like, you look up and these guys are trying to get in church through the roof. I mean, you look at them and say, haven't you guys been to membership class or something? I mean, what's with you guys? But, you know, Jesus was impressed, wasn't he? Yeah. They let him down, you know. And that's radical. That's somebody's house. I mean, what'd you think if you're sitting in your living room today and all of a sudden the roof starts coming in, drywall, you know, and all of a sudden there's a hole in it and your friend says, I just want to say hey. I want to say some more things to you than hey. How many understand? This is really radical. Sometimes you got to be radical if you're going to walk in grace. So they let the guy down and the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. And he said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. Then he said, rise up, take up your couch, go into your house. I always think of Dustin whenever I read that scripture out of the King James. That's a story he told. But here's the thing about it. This guy gets miraculously healed. But the interesting thing is one of the verses in that passage says that Jesus was there teaching. There were doctors of the law and Pharisees, scribes present, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. If the power is present to heal them, then them must need healed. So the grace is there, isn't it? The grace is there, but only one gets it. Why? Because of faith. Because of faith. Grace is how we access God's faith. Our faith is how we access God's grace. That's how we do it. Here's the dirty little secret. Satan knows that, and he tries to talk you out of your faith. He tries to attack your faith. Remember what Jesus said to Peter and Luke? Jill, go ahead and come up. Jesus said to Luke, help me out, somebody. Jesus said to Peter in the book of Luke, he said, Satan hath desired to sift you. He desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Yeah. Well, how many know he knew what to pray about? How many know Jesus knew what to pray about? Right. He wasn't just hit and miss and say, well, let's try this, Peter. Maybe this will help you. No, he knew what the devil was after. He was after Peter's faith. Yeah. You ever felt like the devil was after your faith? You ever felt like he was after your faith in something? Maybe your faith in Christ. But maybe your faith in God's promises, one of his promises. Sure, we've all been there where we've questioned. You know, sometimes there are questions, aren't there? That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. I think it was Micah said, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Sure, we've all been to those places where we didn't understand what was going on. Maybe we had a physical attack against our body and we're believing God for healing. And it seems like it's not going anywhere. It seems like it's getting worse. But have you know, that's just a giant in your Canaan's land. That's all that is. And have you know, our God is a master at defeating giants. We think about David. Think, boy, he must have been good with a slingshot. You know, he didn't brag about his prowess with that slingshot. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He bragged on his God, not his slingshot ability. See, the same thing's true with us today. We may face giants, but we've got a God. Amen. There's grace available to us. But it takes our faith to access it. We've got to just choose to believe God. Let's stand up. Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.